Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the show. Thank you for tuning in. We know you got many options. But thank you for spending a little bit of your valuable time with us. If you love the content, love the show, give us that five-star rating on Apple Podcast. We sure would appreciate it. Big shout out to all the brave men and women out there working in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing, wherever you were at. Thank you for doing it. It takes brave individuals like you to go out there every day in this uncertain environment and do the best job you can. Remember, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. You know, it's such an honor and privilege to be partnered with Detectachem. This amazing and innovative company is helping keep the brave men and women who protect us every day safer by offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of your hand. App-based technology that I wish I had when I was a young officer, but now you can for your organization. Detecting illicit drugs, explosives, now COVID-19. Folks, you gotta have this technology and equipment for your organization. Head over to cjevolution.com. You're gonna see a link to Detectachem. See how they can help keep your troops safer.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. That's 800-210-7907.
Folks, if you love coffee, and I know the majority of you do, you work in criminal justice, you are going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. I am a huge fan of this company. As you know, I'm always touting their products, and for good reason. They are amazing. They are good. I love the Lion's Mane Mushroom Coffee. It gives me that energy, zip, and clarity that I need for my busy day, and I'm willing to bet you're going to love it too. Now, if you head over to cjevolution.com, you're going to see a link to Four Sigmatic. They have coffees, elixirs, cocos, they have it all, and you're not going to be disappointed. Best of all, you're going to get 15% off of your purchases using promo code CJEVO. Enjoy. I am so excited to have my next guest on the show. She is providing much-needed services for our brave men and women who protect us every day. Chelsea Davenport stopped by the show. She is the founder of Peak One Wellness. Now, this is a mobile wellness company that provides mental and physical health solutions to first responders, their families, and providers. They offer training and education to first responders all around the country. They have created a health program that offers more in-depth assessments of mental and physical well-being for first responders that will enable them to perform their duties to the best of their ability on the job, but more importantly, at home. A great interview with Chelsea Davenport next on the CJ Evolution Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have my next guest on the show, Chelsea Davenport. She is the founder of Peak One Wellness. Chelsea, you there?
I'm here. Hi, Patrick.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. I know you're probably very busy. And I want you to talk, we're going to talk about a bunch of different things, if you don't mind, but thank you for being here. And, you know, Peak One Wellness, what got you started on your journey with this great organization that you created?
Good question. So I started with the first responder community about 4.5 years ago, but previous to that, I've worked in the medical field in some way or another for several years before that. Was with a stem cell company, which is really, really fascinating. And then transitioned into working for a lab out of South Florida. And that kind of got me really on my road to learning more about and getting really, really intrigued with the information that doing testing can provide you about your own health and things that you can do from there once you have the information. But I really got involved with first responders after sitting and meeting with someone and talking to other first responders as well about the lack of preventative services that are available to first responders. But, you know, beyond that, I just really had no idea. And I think like most of the general population doesn't understand the things that first responders deal with and the levels of stress that causes. So when I found out all of that, and then, like I said, the lack of support and services that there were, my time that I spent in the lab showed me all of the different like health conditions and illnesses and things like that, that are, you know, come as a result mm-hmm. to high levels of stress. So it just made a lot of sense to me when I found out the statistics about the high levels of cancer, heart attacks, you know, weight gain, lack of sleep, all of these things, it made a lot of sense to me why they were, you know, encountering those issues. So realizing that there weren't those services, it was one of those moments where I'm going, how does this not exist? But with my knowledge and then knowing now what I knew about first responders, it's like, well, why wait around till somebody starts to do something about it? I might as well, you know, kind of embark on that journey myself.
Spearhead it.
Yeah, why not?
Well, I mean, it's great. And I wish there were more people like you out there and more companies like yours out there, because as you know, I think that this, you know, first responder wellness is, you know, kind of, people haven't talked about it that much, at least in my career. I think it's becoming more forefront, more mainstream now. But do you have you come from a law enforcement family or a first responder family?
Yeah, well, my brother was a firefighter and an EMT, but I didn't really see a whole lot of issues with him growing up. You know, it wasn't something that we even saw as family members. And then I've got military family members as well. And, you know, I think I really did not get the full scope of how it affects first responders until I started going to some of these conferences and things like that. And I sat down one-on-one face-to-face with other first responders and just, they kind of opened up about it. Cause I think they were like, wow, somebody's actually wants to talk about these things.
Yeah.
Cause they can't go within their department and do it. They don't feel comfortable, don't feel safe. It's kind of, you know, it's something that they don't encourage. So that was really where it started to open my eyes.
Yeah. And there's so many first responders out there, you know, Chelsea, you talked to a ton of people mm-hmm. In the field that are suffering silently. I know I did, you know, for many years. And it was one of those, you know, alpha male things. I'm not going to say anything, you know, it's a sign of weakness. Especially in first responder fields, like you said, law enforcement, firefighters, yeah, I'm not going to say anything, you know, but I think it's changing a little bit, at least in my organization. I can't speak for other organizations. What do you think? I mean, you talk to, again, a ton of people. Is that kind of mindset kind of changing now?
I think people are a lot more open to the conversations. And mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, a good starting point. And there definitely are some leaders out there that I've seen that are being a lot more proactive. And, you know, one person I can think of just off the top of my head, I don't know if you are familiar, but Neil Gang, he's with the department out in California. I mean, he's being really, he is spearheading some of those mm-hmm. things and being very proactive and making sure that his members of his department are well taken care of. And so we just need, you know, more people like that out there that are stepping up as a leader. I think it starts mm-hmm. there to make other people feel comfortable.
Yeah, especially with the young generation coming in, you know, it's up to, you know, the leadership in an organization to say, look, if you're suffering and you're going to see bad stuff, it's just the nature of the business, you know, but if it starts affecting you, and it will affect you, just for the listener, it will. I mean, I don't care how hard you think you are. There's only so much death and suffering and that, you know, you're going to be able to take before it starts affecting you.
Right.
But the one thing I love about, you know, Peak One Wellness, and we talked a little bit about this off the air, Chelsea, is that your organization, obviously you have services and other things, but your main gist is on prevention, which I've never seen before with programs out there. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. And so like you said before, it's getting talked about. It's a little more open. Wellness is such a broad term. Mm-hmm. But what does that really mean? And I feel like wellness really starts a lot deeper, especially when it comes to our first responders. And so, you know, diet, nutrition, and exercise are so, so important. But I think we all kind of know that person who is just like a brick house that it couldn't be any healthier.
Yeah.
And then one day they up and have a heart attack out of nowhere. And so we just need to be a little more in depth. And so Peak One Wellness, I think that's really the intention behind, is to look, to do these in-depth biological assessments or screenings. So we can see what's going on internally, make sure that we can get ahead of any potential issues like that. Because, you know, not only does stress, and for firefighters, a lot of times it's like exposure, but genetics play a lot into it. So we really need to start taking a deeper look inside to see what we can find out and make sure that we can stay on top of and get ahead of any potential issues there.
So you can actually look at like DNA and stuff of first responders and say, okay, you're predisposed to this based on your genetics, right?
Well, one of the tests that we do is a genetic test, and it's called pharmacogenetics. That test focuses on what medications you can or can't take based on your DNA. So it's basically how you metabolize certain medications. The same way you metabolize foods differently or might have an allergy or a sensitivity to it, medications are really no different. So that was one of the things I felt like was really, really important to first responders having access to that. You're at a higher risk of injury. And like we've been talking about already, stress causes health issues. So a lot of times you know, we find people on sleeping medication, pain medication, you know, and unfortunately, there are a lot of medications out there that people have those sensitivities or allergies to, which can cause some really serious problems.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it can affect your cognitive function and your decision-making abilities. And so the last thing you want, it's a first responder, you know, going to the doctor, getting prescribed something, and then, you know, you go out the next day, you're on duty, and then you start to feel those effects of it. Mm-hmm. With a pharmacogenetics test, the intention of that is to make sure that you take that trial and error out of the equation.
Yeah.
So that's super important. And then on the other side of it, you know, we're not inventing really anything new. We're just making sure that we have research. We've spent about 4 years now. We're going to be like launching fully the program out to nationwide soon. But we're partnered with a nationwide lab and we're doing blood work. And we've looked at things that affect first responders the most. A lot of times it's cardiac issues and things like that. And so we're doing panels that are specific to that. You know, checking your hormone levels, that plays a huge factor into a lot of different things in your body's behavior, you know, depression, all of those things.
Yeah, I remember. I remember years ago, I went to the doctor and I was in great shape. You know, I was, you know, a little younger, but I was working nights. I was working graveyards, and I went to the doctor and I got some blood work done, and he came back and he was like, you know, you got high blood pressure and you got, you know, high cholesterol, and which are not, people might be listening and say, well, that's not that serious. Well, the point in that is, like you said, Chelsea, I mean, I was in great shape. I was a bigger, you know, cop, but you know, I wouldn't have known if I didn't go to the doctor, get some blood tests. And to your point, I mean, it's really important that, you know, officers, first responders, whatever you're doing, you enlist your services or other services to get that preventative stuff, you know, to at least know until it's too late where you're dealing with a serious health issue. You know what I mean?
Right. And I'll ask you this question. So at your department, were you guys required routine physicals like yearly?
No, that's a great question. Right. And that's a misnomer. So a lot of departments, I mean, a lot of people think that, you know, it depends on your agency. You know that, mm-hmm. You know that, but yeah, I think if it warranted it, you know, if something was going on that they would, but you know, I think departments should. I think agencies should do that as well as physical fitness tests. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's a no-brainer. But my organization, my last department, I worked for a couple. They didn't have those, which was, you know, I don't know why. I'm sure it's a money issue, but yeah. I think
we
should.
It's funny you should say that too, it being a money issue, because doing those routine assessments actually saves the department.
Exactly.
So
yeah, exactly.
And that's the misconception, because I think, okay, all right, what's it going to cost us to test every department member? Yeah. It's going to cost a couple hundred bucks for every person. But then you have one person who has a heart attack, and guess how many?
Exactly.
Tens of thousands, if not $100,000, you know what I mean, could cost the department.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's, you know, it's preventative, which you might spend some money a little bit on the front end, but if you're not doing it on the back end, it could be more.
Right. You know? And not only in cost savings, but it also saves, you know, the member of the department, you know, having to go through that. These things can be prevented in so many cases. Yeah. But God forbid, you know, they don't survive the heart attack, and then you have to go through, you know, the funeral and yeah. losing someone, and that affecting the people around them. And then recruiting, training, and hiring someone new. Think about the cost that there is to that. But also, you know, we've found out that, you know, through some doing some statistics, that the average life expectancy of a police officer is starting to fall, and it's now 56 years old. So, you know, that's a shocking statistic.
What about self-medicating? Unfortunately, I think a lot of officers do that with either alcohol or other things to kind of deal with the stressors of the job and even off the job.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we hear that a lot. And yeah, the self-medicating thing, it's a good point. You know, that's something that definitely affects first responders. But again, from the trauma and some of the calls that they go on, of course, like the first thing you want to do is come home and sort of try to, like, you know, drink that away. But again, I think that's why having preventative services are so, so important, to make sure that they just stay healthy. And that was the whole point of calling, you know, the company Peak, is to make sure that, you know, first responders are at the peak of their health, and so they can be at the peak of their performance.
When you talk to first responders, Chelsea, what are they struggling with? I mean, what are they freaked out about or afraid of?
You know, I think a lot of times it's a lot of, I mean, we ask what the number one thing that a lot of first responders are afraid of, and it's a lot of times it's politics. I think that that's what we hear a lot of times. They have issues, they want to get help for it, but they don't feel comfortable, don't feel secure going within their department. And so, you know, then they're trying to look for outside resources, and they don't even know where to start there. And so I think it's just, you know, that struggle of even getting the courage or feeling, you know, safe enough to even reach out for help and not have to worry about losing their job, you know, or not being able to get the help that they need.
So what advice would you give people out there who are struggling to seek out help, to ask for help? Because I think a lot of times, quite frankly, and I've seen it in my experience, that you go up against a culture of an organization. You know, you don't want to seem, you know, weak or anything like that if you ask for help. And what advice would you give them, Chelsea?
Well, first of all, it's not a sign of weakness mm-hmm. in the slightest. If anything, it takes so much strength and courage to reach out and ask for help. And, you know, and what's the worst that can happen is that you do go and you find resources, you find some tools, you find maybe some reading material, a counselor, you know, if it gets worse, you know, some really good facilities out there that have first responder programs where you can go to. You know, taking care of yourself is super, super important, and there's nothing at all weak about that. Yeah. But there are a lot of organizations out there, great ones, that have resources. Survive First is an organization that my friend Doug Monda runs, and we work a lot with him. I have a nonprofit organization as well called Healthy Hire, Healthy Retire. You know, and we have resources, you know, local support groups. There's another gentleman by the name of Ryan Jones. He's got these backpacks that he's filling with materials and tools and stuff that he sends out to people that want them. Yeah. And he's getting requests now every single day for those. So it's called Honoring Our Heroes. He's got that organization. So we have a lot of these resources that we can reach out to. There's so many things out there now that are available for first responders.
You just have that's what I love. You just have a vast network, doctors, medical staff, you know, dealing with mental health and substance abuse, because I know a lot of officers probably were, you know, a taboo subject, but there's probably, I mean, I knew officers that popped pills for many years, you know, they got caught and later got in trouble, obviously, but substance abuse too. So I think a lot of officers, or I keep saying officers, first responders, they're addicted, right, to substances.
Right. And again, because a lot of times you'll get injured or you have that lack of sleep, you get put on these medications. Mm-hmm. And I think that's too where the pharmacogenetics comes into play a little bit as well, is some of these people, that there's no intention of that whatsoever. We had a female officer that came through our program when we were doing all of our testing, you know, like testing out the concept. Sure. And whatnot, that got injured, was prescribed pain medications, and she came to our doctor and self-disclosed to her, didn't feel comfortable, you know, that usual scenario, didn't mm-hmm. feel comfortable going within her department because she was afraid of the repercussions. But she didn't intend for that to happen. She was just having really struggling yeah. getting off of them. So we were able to get her to a facility and get her help, and help probably prevent something tragic from happening down the line. So that was something we were really, really proud to see happen. Our very first event that we did, we're like, this is bigger than we even thought it was going to be.
Yeah. And there's probably tons of first responders out there that are, you know, suffering the same addictions, mm-hmm. you know, because like you said, I mean, they get injured and they don't intentionally start popping Oxycontin, you know, I mean, it's they're, you know, they're suffering and pain. And then once you get addicted to that stuff, oh man, it's so hard to wean off.
Right. And, you know, and doctors are great, you know, our medical staff, you know,
oh, yeah.
we appreciate them, but there's no secret that there are some out there that are really quick to do
those oh, yeah.
prescriptions versus, you know, try to get something on a more holistic approach or something to avoid that. And unfortunately, you know, that doesn't work for everyone. So there are a lot of resources and a lot of options out there. And yeah, so if you can get around that, that's probably the best, but some people need medication and,
yeah.
and they just do. So yeah. it's great to know what the right one is for you ahead of time.
And, you know, with Peak One Wellness, all of it is obviously confidential, mm-hmm. you know, and yep. the information gets sent to patients individually.
Correct. Yeah.
Right?
We have a patient portal, so we're partnered with Quest Diagnostics. So as soon as we get launched, you'll be able to go to any. We have two different ways we can do it. We can even come in with staff to a department and just do a testing event and see each member of the department there. Or individually, someone can go on the site and sign up and go into a Quest location anywhere in the country and get the testing done. And then you can go back in. You'll get a notification when the results are there, and you just go into your portal and you view them. If there's anything that comes back on the test results that need to be addressed, we do have a staff of doctors as well that look over every one of the patient test results. And so if something needs to be addressed, they will contact the patient and they'll go over that with them. So that's another benefit.
We're going to take a quick break with Chelsea. We're going to be right back. Look, if you are suffering from addiction problems, or you know somebody that is, this message is for you. You do not have to continue to suffer. There's help out there. Just call this number.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. 800-210-7907. That's 800-210-7907.
So pivoting a little bit, Chelsea, and thanks for the information on Peak One Wellness. Everything's going to be linked up in the show notes, folks. What do you think about, you know, all that's going on in the United States with I'm going to call it a war on cops? And how does that play into what we've been talking about during this interview, stress and mental anguish, all that stuff?
Well, I mean, I certainly feel like if they didn't already have enough stress, I mean, add all of this on top of that, I can only imagine not only for themselves, but their families, what they're all dealing with. You know, we've always known before, it doesn't matter big town, small town, or, you know, big city, small town. If you walk out the door with your uniform on, you don't know if you're going to come back home to your family that day. But now, I can't even imagine. And I know morale is super low. You know, you have the stress of COVID on top of, you know, all the riots and protests and just even any individual you may encounter on the street at, you know, any day now.
Yeah.
I just really don't. I give so much credit and have so much respect for everybody who puts a uniform on in the morning and goes out there to, with everything that's going on, still goes out there to protect, you know, the members of the community and stand up for what's right. So
yeah.
Definitely we've been hearing a lot that morale is really low. And I think that when things start to die down within a few months, you know, maybe up to 6 months afterwards is when we're going to probably see a big, unfortunately, a big impact.
Yeah. And I talked to a lot of first responders, and a lot of them are looking for a way out, unfortunately. Thank God that there's still people that want to get into the first responder field, you know, firefighter, paramedic, EMT, even dispatchers, like mm-hmm. we were talking about. But what do you think, you know, I mean, just on your thoughts, you know, what do you, how do we get through this, Chelsea? I mean, is there an answer to this, or we just got to ride it out?
You know what, I think somebody asked me this the other day, and I think that it's going to come down to having a greater understanding on both sides. Mm-hmm. I think they keep saying that, you know, cops need more education when they get hired, yet they want to defund them, which is really ironic to me. But I think that the community needs a lot of education.
Exactly.
yeah. Because, I mean, even for, I can say for myself, I had no idea. You know, I had first responders and military in my family, and I had no idea what they deal with and what they go through. You know, now I've done ride-alongs, and I know that a lot of departments will allow people to do that. You know, you just have to go through the proper steps. But, you know, I encourage people, go out and, you know, do a ride-along. You can go with the fire department. You can go with the police department. You know, it'll be give you a lot more insight and help you get to know some of those you know, some of those law enforcement officers that are around patrolling the neighborhoods. But understanding is going to be, I think, the key. And this divisiveness is definitely not what's going to solve the problem. It's obviously only making it worse. So.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, and I love what you said about, I think the public needs more education on what police do. I think most people in the public get what police do just by watching movies or television shows, and that's fantasy. It's Hollywood. It's not real. Mm-hmm. A small percentage of it is somewhat accurate, yeah. But yeah,
they can turn it off and on as they please.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it comes with education. Now, do I believe that police need some reform? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I believe with what you said about 110% more education. I mean, these Antifa idiots that are running around, I have no idea what brave men and women. Whatever you're doing in the first responder field do every day, although they probably don't want to know. Yeah, very, very true. What do you think it looks like in the future really quick, you know, law enforcement, when we get through this, you know, what do you think, Chelsea?
I do think that there's going to be more education as far as training for police officers. I think there are going to be more programs out there that departments can sign up for or bring in to do some more, just some more education, mental health wise, community outreach. I think that a lot of those changes are going to start to happen. But to be honest, I mean, it's hard to tell for certain.
Yeah.
It's hard to wrap. I mean, every time I turn on, well, I don't really turn the TV on much anymore, but every time I look through like a news feed or try to look at the news, it's another story coming at you. You know, they're just coming left and right. And so it's really hard to tell where there's going to be an end.
Yeah.
You hope that there will be. But again, I think just there's going to be so much more educating the public and educating law enforcement more. That's going to make some real changes.
Yeah. But I do think, and maybe you'd agree with this, Chelsea, that the majority of people out there support our first responders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish they were, I say it all the time, I wish they were more vocal, but I always start all my shows with, you know, just a reminder to, you know, first responders that, you know, people love you. I mean, people support you. I wish they, again, would say it more, but millions of people support our brave men and women who protect us.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, you know, when a lot of this first started happening, I put up a law enforcement appreciation post on my LinkedIn page, which got a lot of attention. And because of some negative comments on there, there was an organization I was working with that decided not to move forward working with me because of it. And,
ridiculous.
But at the end of the day, I wouldn't take it back.
Do you really, really want to be affiliated with an organization that doesn't protect or stand up for our brave men and women? I think a lot of these people, these organizations are just doing it because it's the hip thing to do.
Well, you know, there's the cancel culture, and yeah. A lot of people are in fear of that. They don't want that risk, you know, to their organization. And, and unfortunately, it really is sad that people can't even stand up for what's right anymore for fear of public backlash.
Well, I believe in karma. You know, the older I get, I believe what you put out there, you're going to get in return. And for the people out there that, because I've gotten the same, you know, crap that you've gotten, Chelsea, and I say, defriend me, you know, unfollow me. I don't care. You know, you got to stand up for what's right. And I really do believe people like that who are just following the herd, you know, the cool thing to do. Some of them believe it, but I think a lot of it is just follow the lemmings, you know. And I think that comes around, you know, that'll come around in the end. It's karma. So
for sure.
Crazy stuff. So any final thoughts? If people are listening to this show, Chelsea, and they're like, you know, I need some help. You know, I need to you know, put that foot forward and get the help I need. I mean, what advice would you give them?
I would say definitely you could reach out to myself. Our organization is Healthy Hire, Healthy Retire. You can find us at www.healthyhirehealthyretire.org. You know, we have a lot of partners that we work with. You know, if you reach out to us through the website, there's a place you can put your information in and request, request contact. And then as far as like people that are members of your departments or the people around you, just make a habit of asking people if they're okay and be genuine, like mean it. And then the other thing too, is if you do have a member of the department that is struggling, that maybe does go and get help, look out for their families. I think a lot of times the families feel a little left behind, you know, everybody signs up for this. It's, you know, it's supposed to be like a family culture and the brotherhood and all of that. And then a lot of times they get sort of like left behind when they're in need. So the wives and the children and family support is huge as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point. Great point. I think we focus on the individual, which is important. Mm-hmm. Family is what keeps that individual going back to work and a healthy family unit. We got to take care of our spouses and our partners and the children that are supporting our brave men and women. Chelsea Davenport, thank you so much. You're an amazing individual doing amazing work. Everything will be linked up in the show notes. Much success to you in the future. And if there's anything we can do, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on. And I look forward to talking with you again.
All right, Chelsea, take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.